You can watch us live at all the faces I make on our Facebook and YouTube and Twitter live stream.
I'm feeling dandy. I'm telling you. Peach keen, I say that too. And I mean it when I say peach keen.
All right.
We've unlocked Oplander.
That's it, Oplander.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Green Bay, Oshkosh, Amory, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, anyone streaming, anyone listening later. Good morning, Jane Medner.
Good morning, Kristen Bry. How are you?
I'm just great. Made it here safely despite the snow still falling down. And especially very happy to see the face of Mr. Greg Bach.
Hello.
You were gone, and now you're back.
I'm back. I've returned. To the bosom of this show.
We welcome arms.
Open bosoms.
Open bosoms. Open arms. Warm bosoms. All of the things.
All right.
Not get into it too deeply, but what was the best thing you ate in New Orleans?
Oh, why does everyone even asking me that? Okay.
Well, if everyone keeps asking you, you probably should have an answer by now.
I'll say this, is that I had four kinds of gumbo, two kinds of jambalaya, po' boys, I had alligator, it was amazing.
Did you have turtle soup?
I did not have turtle soup. That does not interest me.
Was that oysters. Because of moral reasons?
No, I just don't care for it.
Okay.
I had oysters, which I think I've had once in my life and I wasn't a fan of, but this time they were out of the shell already. They were prepared, so it was a little easier. I mean, it was just, we had deep fried alligator with the oysters and then cheesy grits, regular grits. I mean, it was just amazing. And so it was just, the biscuits were so good.
Do you chew oysters?
I did. I chewed them just a little bit. Then I think what you're supposed to just slam them back when you're taking them out of the shell.
When they're fresh. Yeah.
Yeah. But these were prepared and they were put into a tray. So I chewed them to see the consistency. Cause I always thought if you're supposed to just slam them back and swallow them, then they can't be that good. Or what's the point? It's like swallowing a smaller tongue. So.
Wow.
I had a great time. We saw great, we saw great music. We met, if you ever want to have just amazing Lyft and Uber rides, go to New Orleans.
Yes.
I mean, the people who were giving us from super nice to this little old lady who had to be at least 70 to 75 years old named Brenda, who at one point, because, we're not going to go in there asking about Katrina. That's not something they want to talk about to outsiders. It's pretty traumatic. She told this beautiful, sad story about her life. But then at the end of it, you just felt uplifted because of her attitude of I'm not leaving here. I left my home for 7 years. I got my home back. I'm not leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful city. If you ever go in January. The weather's great. It's cheaper. It's right before Mardi Gras, so everyone's kind of laying low. And there's just a ton of stuff to do. I love it. Big proponent of it. Can't wait to go. And fun thing that happened, we started talking about getting a dog. We started a discussion about, will this be the year we get a dog?
Ooh, yay.
I know. Nothing in stone. We were talking about dogs. I'm like, should we just say right here, do we think this is the year we're going to get a dog? And Bridget goes, I think so. And then we started discussing it, the responsibilities, the things we need to do, and, what kind of dog we do want, what kind of dogs we do not want. And so it was just, I was sad the night before we were leaving. I'm like, I want to stay here for two more days.
Wait, how does the dog have to deal with wanting to stay?
It was just a great trip. So there were so many great things. It was so many wonderful things. I mean, New Orleans.
Everything a vacation should be. You come back, you're happier, you're refreshed.
Yes, and I'm not good at vacating. I am not. Okay. I'm very bad at it because I'm always thinking about other things. But at this time, I was like, nope, I'm going to walk. We walked around. We had fun. We rode scooters through the streets of New Orleans. Wouldn't recommend that. It's not a very scooter-friendly town.
Well, that's actually a good segue into what we're going to be talking about.
No, scooters, not segues, scooters.
No, I know. I'm saying in general, across the country.
Oh, that was a joke.
I didn't get it.
You said those great segues. I said, no, not segues.
Oh.
And a joke's even better, folks, when you have to explain it. Moving on. What do you want to talk about now?
I was going to say, in the second hour today, talking about what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So at 12 o'clock, we're going to spend the whole hour talking about reckless driving, traffic violence, which is a new term to me, kind of the first half hour just talking about in general that we are an outsider as an entire country, not just the Milwaukee area, as far as being so unsafe for people outside of cars now compared to other countries. And then at 12:30 on the same topic, Jennifer Boyd, who directed a documentary called The Street Project, which you can see on Amazon and PBS, which is talking about how communities are trying to tackle traffic violence and reckless driving. So that, because New Orleans, similar to Milwaukee, pedestrians, bicyclists, scooterists, all those things, not necessarily safe, but we're not an outlier. This is the whole country is like this. Yeah. But this hour at 11:30, we have a conversation to have about a certain Brookfield alderman and the gatekeeping he is in favor of as far as those poor people who want to move to Brookfield. Yeah. So stay tuned for that conversation. But to start, we would be remiss not to talk about the state of the state, which happened last night. Governor Tony Evers giving his fifth state of the state at the beginning of his second term now.
Re-elected, baby.
Re-elected.
And it feels so good.
Just as a primer, the state of the state is an annual speech and is an opportunity for the governor to provide Wisconsinites with an update while also outlining his priorities for this, his second term and this budget cycle. A lot of it, I think, was talking about what his priorities are for the budget. But it's an opportunity. It's one of the few opportunities that you see all of the state lawmakers in the same room. One of the few opportunities that you see one side, because we have split government, a lot of Democrats clapping, a lot of not clapping for Republicans.
Harumphing. There's a lot of harumphing.
And I just figured we'd go through some of the highlights of what I thought was interesting in the speech. Were you able to spend some time watching
it? A little bit, not too much. I was doing stuff last night.
And so, you know, again, as we joke that he is Oplander, there was not much Oplanding last night. There wasn't a lot of sassiness. but, you know, just to start off, the man loves his wife. I will say he just started the speech with just how much he loves Kathy.
Who doesn't love Kathy?
I know. It's very sweet. But the first, did we grab the where he started as far as our fiscal position?
I've got something on the budget surplus if you want to start
there. Yeah, let's start there.
Our general fund and rainy day fund both ended the last fiscal year at the highest levels ever in our state's 175-year history. We're now expected to end the current biennium with about a $6.5 billion in our state coffers and over $1.7 billion in the rainy day fund.
Which, you know, it's kind of like, I kind of hear that as, and I don't, there was a lot of applause for that. And it's kind of like, as we are a show that talks about Wisconsin news a lot, and we talk about how many things feel broken.
Yeah.
Is it such a good thing that we're just sitting on all of this money? It's like, what's the point of being in a great financial position if so many things feel like they're crumbling, including, you missed it yesterday, the Wisconsin State Bar has said that we're heading towards a constitutional crisis because there's so few DAs, prosecutors, and public defenders. So it's like, we need to pay people.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's one thing to, it felt like that was one of the kick it off. It's like, sure, that's an accomplishment, I guess. And it means we're not struggling, but also we are struggling because we're not spending some of that money.
I think one thing too, I don't know about other states. I think it's incredibly Wisconsin that we call it a rainy day fund. It's a rainy day fund. But also, Kristen, I don't want you to worry about this because luckily, the Wisconsin Republicans are here for you to help with that. And my guess is they'll want to do what they've done the past two times we've had a surplus, which is take that money, send it to the people of Wisconsin in the form of some sort of rebate or tax credit that helps a few people for very little money. Like when they sent a rebate to homeowners in Wisconsin that gave you or your friends anywhere between $13 to $100 extra dollars for the year. Because Wisconsinites know how to spend their money. Don't tell government how to do it. Don't put it into education or to help maybe pay more lawyer, get more lawyers, whatever. I don't disagree with you. My problem is that whatever Tony Evers wants to do with it, whatever the Democrats want to do with it, is not going to happen. It's going to go to investment in the state. Republicans just want to give it away. That's what they're going to want to do.
Well, that's exactly what they said. I mean, both Speaker Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu said while they agree with some of Evers' priorities, they criticized how much of the surplus he proposed on spending. Quote, pretty much everything he proposed today was a government expansion. So I would assume that most of those are DOA dead on arrival.
Yep.
And that was from Robin Voss. And he said they plan to start from scratch with the budget again this year, tossing out all but the good ideas from whatever Governor Evers will propose, which is the same thing they've done in the last two cycles. But, you know, it's just a... And again, I always say I feel like it's hard for me to listen to a lot of these things and not be behind it, which I know I'm biased as far as the things I think we should be investing in. But it was like he started with schools, and then he declared this to be the year of mental health.
Yeah.
He talked about PFAS. He talked about shared revenue. And so I don't, as far as what the adding up of what his proposals were and the numbers he threw out, there's probably some people might have different addition that I haven't seen anything that like actually like line by line talked about his speech, but it's $190 million to bolster the workforce, $300 million in an effort to reduce child care costs, $100 million geared towards tackling PFAS, but all of the different things he lined up, it still didn't like make up what the surplus is
now. What you just
and
said,
the surplus is also, sorry, is also different than what the income tax and like what we can actually afford. Like that is also just on top of what they're already going to be able to use for the budget, right? And so I don't know who hears these things is like, nope, we shouldn't spend money on that. Because who is going to spend money on that? Who is going to help try to deal with all this PFAS stuff? Who is going to actually like spend the money to, like, we have a mental health crisis. The last week there was a new article. We're like record high for teenage suicide attempts in this state. You got a minute. So you got something to say in a minute before?
The thing is, it comes down to these Republicans, and I don't, and I'm going to be very on the line here. It comes down to these Republicans. They're like, that's fine. We don't care. They don't care. They do not care. They don't have to care because their base is always going to vote for them. And as long as they get voted in, they're fine. So they don't have to care about the things that we care about because their kids go to private school. They don't care about their kids' health. I'm sorry. I said it, but it's just true. So they don't have to care about it. And then they're going to send it back to people like you and me in the form of like a $15 check.
All right, coming up, we're going to keep talking about this and I'm going to talk about some of the maybe more fun aspects of last night's speech. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
It's a fine state. Where would you reside? Not quite to Canada, Great Lakes are by her side. Home of Aldo Leopold, Big Sky and Orson Welles. Steve Miller Band, lots of used up shotgun shells. Where everyone's your neighbor, beer, cheese and fish fried. And you don't just say you're leaving, you say goodbye 15 times.
Okay, bye-bye now. See you guys later. Hey, keeper.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. Mr. Greg Bach is here for Greg Bach Wednesdays. And we are talking about the state of the state. And, you know, I don't know. Were either of you surprised at anything that happened or didn't happen?
No.
I actually thought he was a little bit more dynamic than usual.
Well, the best part, he was so embarrassed. So there was a part where he, we'll play it. But there's a part that there was a couple parts where he's misspoke, which is fine. It's, you know, it's a 45-minute speech. But there's a part where he was talking about his wife because he was trying to talk about small businesses and this specific small business that in Fond du Lac, and it's a seamstress, tailor, and how long she's been there and how she's survived. And because, like, we were one of the top states, too, as far as giving grants to small businesses so they can survive the pandemic. So let's play the clip of him misspeaking and how embarrassed he got.
If you travel around the state like I do, you can see, literally see the transformative impacts these investments have made in corridors and communities across Wisconsin. Take Fond du Lac, for example, right by where Kathy and I grew up in Plymouth. Cheese capital of the world, by the way. Some things haven't changed much over the years, like Edith's right downtown in Fondy, where Kathy bought her first wedding, or her wedding, not her first wedding dress. Her first and last wedding dress, I hope. Good Lord.
Good Lord.
But other things have changed.
It's so embarrassing. I had it on the background as I was writing things for today.
Yeah.
And I looked up at that part, and you could just see how many shades of red he was. I mean, it's not even that bad of a slip-up, but it was so funny how embarrassed he was. Oh, good Lord.
Well, and he's just so likable.
Well, that's the thing is, when you think about Tony Evers, on paper, he shouldn't be a successful politician in today's day and age.
Well, and I don't know. And the truth is, I feel like other politicians around the country who have a similar temperament, probably we don't hear about because they're not super splashy and they're not necessarily people who are eventually going to be gearing up to try to run for president, like the Gavin Newsoms or even the Gretchen Whitmers and people who are more flashy, that's not the right word, but the
more Hollywood
dynamic, more Hollywood.
They're more polished.
Yes. And so, and like, he's just so folksy, but the only part that I feel like was a little, the only dig I feel like he made, as far as talking about the Republicans, because at one point, actually, I do want to play this. He got choked up at one point. And I was kind of, that is another part where I looked up and wasn't just listening, but because he spent a good chunk of the first half of the speech talking about mental health.
Yeah.
And really really driving home, because it's not just teenagers. It's our veterans. It's so many different populations.
It's everyone.
It's part of the opioid crisis. It's about so many different things. And, you know, at one point he says something along the lines of like, let's not get 2 years from now and think about we could have done more, which is obviously what anyone who's ever survived someone who has committed, who's ended their life. All you think about is what else could I have done? Now I'm going to get choked up. So let's play. And I thought this was really important what he said.
And that includes state resources to support 988, the new suicide and crisis lifeline, which went live in 2022, thanks to our Senator Tammy Baldwin, as well as increased support for peer-run and community-based services across the state. Mental health deals with everybody here, you know, not just this side also.
That wasn't in his written speech, because I was going through the different outlets, because they give the speech to the different outlets, and so the different journalists write up what they thought, and then they put the speech in the transcript there. And I was trying to find it because I wanted us to grab it for today, and I kept doing the Control F, and I couldn't find it.
Oh wow!
And so I had to go back and listen to where we could grab it. So that was obviously improvised.
Well, and because you didn't see the visual that went along with it. When he was talking about mental health and the increased funding, of course, all the Democrats stood up and applauded, and on the Republican side, no one did. And that's why he was saying mental health is a problem for people on both sides of this aisle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said in the last segment, they don't have to care. So and apparently clapping shows weakness. I don't know. It's disappointing and shameful. So,
well, and then the one part that he did get a little saucy, which I don't think we were able to grab, was he called the flat tax reckless. Yeah. Or, I don't even think it's reckless. It's a little reckless, I think is what he said.
Oh, it's just a little reckless.
Bold words.
Yes. And so we will link the whole video on YouTube of the live stream if you want to go watch it. We'll also obviously link some of the different write-ups of what happened, because it's important. It's important to know what he's going to outline. A lot of this will come up in the budget negotiations that will go on for this whole month. But the most important part that I want to end on is, he goes in on Wisconsin, and then the UW marching band starts playing. And I was sitting there watching it, and I just, because I've been recently called terribly curious, which I think I'll take as a compliment. And I was like, I wonder how those students feel. Like, how much fun is this compared to being at the Kohl Center or Camp Randall? So I just tweeted that out. That was the only thing I tweeted all night was, is this an obligation or an opportunity? And I had multiple either former or current UW marching band members tweet back that they love it. So take that.
And you know who made a little money off that moment? Paul McCartney. He owns the license to that song.
Did you know that it was originally supposed to be Minnesota, Minnesota?
Yeah, and they're like, this state isn't good enough for this song.
Exactly, exactly. I did not know that about Paul McCartney.
Yeah, he owns the rights to On Wisconsin.
All right. Well, when we come back, a Brookfield alderman steps in it a little bit. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
Cripes, there's nothing better in the world than watching a bunch of unthawed sausages race around Miller Park. Hey, put your money on the Brat or Frankie Furter.
Took my fish and pole to win.
Sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot in the walleye hole and go
in.
I'm a chance. I'm in my break. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. I am Kristen Bry. He is Greg Bach. And we also got Jane Matinere on the board. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And a reminder, if you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, which we have to say for Greg, because that's where he...
I don't need your pity.
His Samsung Android.
I have a Google Pixel Pro, whatever.
So, if you would like to join this conversation, if you live in Brookfield or the surrounding area, or if you live in West Allis or Wauwatosa...
Yeah, I'd love to hear from West Allis.
Watch your language,
you know,
Dallas.
Because I feel like different city... It's often different parts of... To have a fun rivalry, right? I recently was told that Shorewood and Whitefish Bay have a rivalry, even though you don't. I don't know how you ever tell when you're in one or the other, because they're. I think of them as exactly the same.
Pretty identical.
But, you know, like, it's rival high schools. It's things like that. But this Brookfield alderman really took it to another level of how he, in his opposition... And he's not the only person on the Brookfield City Council that is opposed to a new affordable housing unit, which we'll get back to the details of that. But it's more of how adamant he was that he does not want Brookfield to become a West Allis or a Wauwatosa, because that's where you live to save your money to be able to afford to live in Brookfield. And this is Alderman Chris Seals. And... He both wrapped up in public how to be classist and like denigrate your neighboring communities all in one.
Yeah.
And I also don't even know if it's true, because I feel like Tosa's expensive.
Tosa is not as expensive as Brookfield to live, because we looked at both places.
Okay.
But Tosa's still pretty hoity-toity. Like, it's got money there. Then don't like... Rich people live in Tosa, too.
Yeah.
So when he chose to, like, if you just said West Allis or New Berlin, I'd be like, oh, 1-2 punch. But when he says, like, he's like, West Allis, he's like, okay, I get it. And he goes, Tosa. I'm like, okay, dude, have you been to Tosa?
Yeah. And so there's so many things to unpack here, because I also feel like looking at this guy and also looking at some of the other comments that were made by different aldermen, and I think some of the people who've voiced opposition to this affordable housing unit, is like, these are also probably the same people who are like, nobody wants to work anymore. Because when they go to like the Outback, there's no servers. And like all of the chain restaurants that are basically all of the fine dining in Brookfield, no one wants to work those jobs, because people don't live, if they can't afford to live next to their job, they're not going to, and there's no transit to get them there. Who do you think is going to work in your community? And so it's also just them just like cutting off their nose despite their face, as far as making their community more robust and affordable to live in. And so I don't know. What do you think?
Well,
your mother lives in Brookfield, right?
Mama Bach lives in Brookfield, and I actually asked her thoughts on this morning, and she said to me, I saw the headline saying affordable housing would be a step down in Brookfield. I won't be voting for him in the next election. and then she just basically said that he's an idiot, and that, you know, she just... It's so dumb. It comes out of nowhere. Well, for one thing, I also want him to know, this alderman to know, that you, while discussing the fine dining areas of Brookfield, said Outback Steakhouse. So how cool is Brookfield really? I mean, you don't have an Emeralds there. You don't have like a Nobu. It's the Outback on Greenfield Road.
No, because even the Moe's Steakhouse, there's one in downtown Milwaukee. And I think the other one's in Tosa.
Yeah,
like, I'm trying to think of the places. And don't get me wrong, I'm not, for people who live in Brookfield, I'm not trying to attack people who live in Brookfield. No. I'm not trying to, for people who like living in Brookfield. It's more of this gatekeeping attitude,
yeah,
and this hoity-toity, Brookfield is the best, and we have to protect our community, mm-hmm, from the riffraff.
Yeah.
That's like, all right, calm down.
Yeah. We have a caller checking in from West Dallas.
Okay. Oh,
watch your language.
Welcome, Curtis.
Hello, how you doing? This is Curtis from West.
What do you have to say, Curtis?
What's up, Curtis?
Are you going to let him talk about your city like that?
No, but I want to give you some outbacks. This is what's going on. See, what they want to do is they don't those people to live in the area, because they started a fight like this about 10 years ago, 15 years ago on National Avenue. There was a low-income housing project being built on 147th and National, and the mayor and everybody else didn't want it, because it would hurt the neighborhood and hurt the schools to put the low-income housing there, you know? Because, you know, oh, can't have that there because, you know, it brings those people there. But they always want to talk about those people, but they want to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. Well, if you don't get to live in a certain area, how are you your kids are going to better themselves, yep, you know, in school and everywhere else? Because, you know, those people in New Berlin always say, oh, those people in the city, you know, those schools, I got better schools out here. Well, that's because, you know, you don't want those kids to live there. Well, every kid, it doesn't make a difference where your background is, if it's poor or rich. Everybody should always love each other because, you know, they want to talk about the Christianity, you know, behind everything. But anyway, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks, Curtis. We're talking about the Brookfield alderman who has come under fire over some statements as far as him not really caring about what this could do to the city, because the fact is they can only, as Brookfield can only turn, the city council can only vote against this for zoning reasons.
Yeah.
They can't vote against this just because they don't like it, because it will violate the Fair Housing Act. And New Berlin, mm-hmm, actually did get sued when they tried to do this same thing. And so the city lawyer was like, listen, you can only be in opposition of this if it is because of zoning rules. You, yeah, can't just be discriminatory because you don't want people to live here. And this is the important part. The stereotype of those people or low-income housing, this is the project that they're talking about is workforce housing, meaning it targets middle-income workers who earn 60 to 120% of the median area income, including professions such as police officers, firefighters, teachers, healthcare workers, and retail clerks. So we're talking about people who are working.
You mean people with 2 years ago we were calling heroes?
Yes. And so
the frontline workers, the critical workers.
And the people who you want in your community filling the jobs that make your society and your community run. And so instead of this idea of just the stereotype of low-income, affordable housing, like, guess what? Most of the housing is not affordable for those of us who, like, don't make hundreds of thousands of dollars anymore. And so Twitter was very upset about this. This is where I found it yesterday, is because the article is actually in Wisconsin Examiner. And to his credit, there is a alderman. I've yet to ever meet him, but I follow him on Twitter. He's an alderman, Michael Hullquist, who I think is more on the progressive side of alderman in Brookfield. And he's actually called to censure Chris Seals. I don't know if it'll happen.
If it lands a lawsuit in their lap, I mean,
what does a censure actually do? It doesn't do anything.
It's a non-binding resolution saying bad kid.
Yeah, you're not. That was naughty.
It's an official slap on the wrist. And I'm looking up Chris Seals' house right now because I just want to see Yeah, I can do that. The thing is, he doesn't live in a mansion either. He lives in a house. It's a house. It's a beautiful house. It's nothing great or bad. But, like, what are you so afraid of?
But I think I looked up last night. I think he's a customer service rep at, like, a accounting firm or something like that. And it made me think of this Atlantic article that I've talked about on the show before, talking about, like, Elon Musk, Trump, Kanye and kind of like the people who sometimes fall into the Trump MAGA world. And it's this middle class people who feel like they're not respected. Like they didn't earn, like they're not quite, they could be successful. They're like monetarily there, but they feel so entitled to like having people's respect. And like the way this guy was talking and his like lot in life, as far as he's a customer service rep, like, you know, I'm sure he makes a decent salary, but like, it's not like you are the CEO of some company, and just needing to protect what's yours and this entitlement and like gatekeeping that happens, that Brookfield needs to be protected from those people.
Yeah.
It's just like not being able to see the bigger picture of how this would actually help an area that, like the rest of the state, needs workers. And not everyone's going to commute to Brookfield from other places if they can find a job that's closer to their house.
And what he just did was he just threw kerosene on a fire that was, I don't want to say it was burning down, but like, I felt like the conversation was maybe we could move on the city level, because things have to be nonpartisan. You got to keep it very in the middle. You got to work for what's best for your community. And by doing this, he just threw a match onto a gas-soaked bomb. And people were like, yeah, totally. He's right. Brookfield must be protected.
Well, it's also interesting because if you read the article, there's other aldermen who were more careful in their words. Right? I mean, and that's part of doing this, right? It's like you can't, if you're going to be blatantly discriminatory, you're going to get called out for it.
Yeah.
And you're going to get someone like me making a TikTok about it, which I did.
follow Ask Goes Wisconsin.
And, you know, and because everyone else chose their words more carefully and talked about, you know, tried to look at the zoning laws. But ultimately, you know, one of them was kind of like, I want to vote against this, but I can't because I can't convince enough of my other people, like the other people on the board, to vote against this. And also because of what the lawyer said, of saying like, unless you can find a reason that this doesn't fit into the zoning laws, we will open ourselves up to lawsuits. And so people had a little bit more discretion in how they were talking about this, even if they weren't in favor of it, because as an elected person, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And isn't it tiresome that we continually equate wealth with integrity and morality?
Well, but also integrity, morality, but also the sense of like of honor, that like honor, like, well, I wasn't given anything. The bootstrap thing. It's constantly the bootstrap thing. Yeah, it's like, I don't care if you're rich. If you're a jerk, it's null and void. And this guy, I mean, I don't know how rich Chris Seals is. I mean, I have no idea. I just looked up where his house was. Maybe he saved his money. I have no idea. But he's a jerk. You are a jerk, Chris Seals. You are mean, and my mom doesn't like you.
And she won't vote for you.
She will not vote. I'm checking.
See if they're at the same ward. She would vote for him.
Yeah, that's what I've been looking up, actually.
But I also, you know, I mean, apparently people were there, and like he got applause for the things that he was saying.
Of course he will.
It's also just, I would say in the comment section of the video that I made about this, it goes to what kind of community do you want to live in? Because if these are it's an indicator of, this is the type of person who lives in Brookfield, because this is what's now in the headlines and circulating, and it paints, and I know I have friends who live in Brookfield, so this is no way me making a sweeping statement of those people, those suburbanites, you know what I mean? But it doesn't help the stereotype in the same way he's stereotyping Wauwatosa inaccurately, or West Allis inaccurately. Also, because West Allis is up and coming. Like,
yes,
Dan Devine has done a very good job as far
it
as the cool things
so
that are happening in West Allis.
Gentrified.
But in the flip, you're adding to people's stereotype about the people in Brookfield are uppity. And why would I ever want to live there? Because no one is actually neighborly. They just care about their lawn and you getting off of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's true, but this kind of rhetoric adds to that sentiment, which is why I would never want to live there.
I don't know. Like I just think about my mom. Honestly, I think about my mom. My mom is not a rich person. She's done okay. She's worked hard her entire life. She has her income. She has her condo, and for all intents and purposes, she lives a good life. But it's the fact that, like, you know, when people talk about, people use Brookfield as like, oh, Brookfield. It's like, oh, the, no, because like my mom lives there. She's cool. This guy's a jerk. He'd be a jerk anywhere he lived. If he was in Tulsa, he'd be telling me like, we got to keep Brookfield and West Dallas out of here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, also, fun fact, he's not her alderman. So, but I can help her campaign against him.
There you go.
But yeah, so it's all these different things. And this last remnants of this MAGA attitude of keep them out and use, as Jane said, like, you know, an honor to defend
that
my
position. Earned our way
yeah,
here.
To defend my position. They're not like us, cops, lawyers. What was it? Other
teachers, healthcare workers, nurses,
yeah,
police.
Exactly. You know.
All right.
Let them live in New Berlin.
We will bring this to an end. Greg Bach is here. Jane Bednar is on the board. When we come back, Potawatomi, closing one thing to open another. Which one would you have frequented more, the theater or the new sports book? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that tomorrow is the $1 million ad giveaway.
Oh, 9 o'clock,
9 a.m. You want to go to civicmedia.us/million. The application will go live, and this is your chance to get free advertising to air on our airwaves. And so you'll work with one of our sales reps who will help you with the campaign, and it literally is as good as it sounds. There is no catch. The only catch is actually that when you go, you have to tell them that Jane and Kristen sent you.
Well, you don't technically have to, but we'd really appreciate
we'd really
it if
appreciate
you would.
It if you would tell them, As Goes Wisconsin, because I listen every day.
Hey, we have a texter checking in from the 414 about what we were talking about before, this alderman from Brookfield who made some disparaging comments about people from West Dallas and Wauwatosa moving out there. Texter says the Brookfield alderman needs to watch the movie 12 Angry Men and learn a few things about life and people.
Dang, what a reference. Great movie.
Great movie.
Both versions.
Who was the because Gregory Peck was in the original.
Jack Lemmon, Ving Rhames was in
it.
Yeah, Ving Rhames won an Emmy for it and brought Jack Lemmon on stage and said, I don't deserve this. This is his award. And Jack Lemmon was very uncomfortable.
I remember that. That was really something.
Yeah. Who played the Gregory Peck character?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It's a great play. It was originally a play.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they did the Inside Amy Schumer version of it, which was amazing. It was actually,
what was the premise of that?
It was whether or not Amy Schumer was hot. Yeah. And it's a great episode. And the actors in that episode are amazing. That was a great show. That was a great show.
Yeah. That was like right before she really blew up with Trainwreck and everything.
Yeah.
And she had some really good sketches on that show. I would totally agree. All right. Well, I wanted to ask, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, okay, but as a venue owner,
I am The Laughing Tap.
The Laughing Tap, thelaughingtap.com for all of your comedy.
Just laughingtap.com.
Just laughingtap.com for all of your comedy needs in Southeast Wisconsin, especially now.
Yeah. You know why?
Because Potawatomi had the Northern Lights Theater, which was a 600-person venue.
Beautiful theater.
And they have now closed it to open a sport book, which was approved by Governor Tony Evers last February. And it's going to be a big, if you've ever been to Vegas and been there for, I've only seen this because my father and brother used to go every year for the beginning of March Madness. And those rooms where there's just tons of TVs and like every day the game's on.
Yep.
So it sounds like it's going to look like that. And it's an opportunity that people who want to bet on sports and watch games can do so. But as a venue owner, I wanted to get your opinion. Is this, because this was a place that, this was a comedy venue too. There was comedians who rolled through and performed there. Mm-hmm. So is this good because there's less competition or bad because it was a good venue?
I think it's bad.
Okay.
I don't really care about competition as far as, I mean, no, like I want every venue. I don't care whether it's a hole in the wall or a corporate run venue. If they're doing good things and putting good people in there and people are enjoying themselves, I want them to do well. And I want people to see the artists that come through there. I mean, I'm bummed because the Northern Lights Theater was a beautiful theater. I saw Don Rickles there and it was one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And Don Rickles, like, there are still some of these older performing comedians who go to the casinos. That's where they go because that's where they're going to be seen and that's where the fans are. And I don't know if a place like the Riverside or Pabst are going to have like a Bob Newhart coming through. Hopefully they won't have Bill Cosby coming through this year, but we'll see. Point is, I think it sucks because Potawatomi is a very, very rich company. They are a very rich corporation. They could easily build a sports book somewhere on that land. You can't tell me that they couldn't. And to close a theater and to open a, like you said, a room with like 300 TVs and 40 sad guys betting their life away in lieu of concerts, like wonderful concerts. Like, I just think it's a waste. And I am really upset about it because it's just a waste of time to me. And it's just, I don't know. I'm not a gambler. I never have been. I don't get into it.
I'm not a gambler either, which is why I don't feel one way or another. But obviously they've made I don't know. I've only been to Potawatomi a couple times.
Destroyed their buffet a couple times. I'll tell you that much.
I think I've only been there once late night with Mike. Cause he wanted to, he's like, it was on my like Wisconsin adult bucket list. When I first moved back, there was all these things I hadn't done because I left at 16. And so the first year we were dating, we had all these like adult Wisconsin, not like like risque, but just things I haven't done as being an adult in Wisconsin. And so one night we went there and I was so bored because I was like, I don't gamble. Yeah. I don't even know how to play most of these games.
No.
So I was there once and then he does his Shamrock Shuffle t-shirt handout there.
Yeah.
So I don't know the venue well enough to know, is there another place in that building that this could have gone and saved? But I would imagine that if they are in the business of making money, which they are and which they do.
But they're making it right now.
If they couldn't have both, why wouldn't they have had both? So if they made the calculus that this is,
I mean,
there's enough of it. Because the thing is, they're the only place who can do that in their defense.
Yes.
They're the only one who has approval in this area to do sports betting. Like statewide, sports betting is not legal.
Yep.
Versus they're not the only venue that can have a theater.
Correct. And that just leads me to think that they were making money off the Northern Lights Theater. I mean, and I get
there's
that.
Also a lot of venues.
I get that. If they're not making money, they're not making money. But like, they're a casino. Like to me, a casino. Yeah, have your sports book. That's fine. It's part of gambling. Whatever. I don't care. But you should have a venue to have artists coming through to bring in those people who want to see, who want to take in those old days of Vegas, who want to go see a show and throw down some coins on a slot machine. And you know, my wonder is, will they have something replacing it? Will they take another room in the building? Will they rebuild something and say like, all right, it's not our Northern Lights Theater, but this is our event venue. This is what we'll have here for shows and whatnot. Because like I said, it was a beautiful place. And my Don Rickles story is wonderful. It's too long of a story for now, but it's a beautiful story. And I it bums me out that venue is going away.
And a unique venue too, right, yeah. Greg? Because more of a divan seating. You were really close to the stage.
Yes, you were.
There really wasn't a bad seat in that theater.
No, yeah, I'm looking at the picture now.
Yeah,
it's
no, there
cool.
wasn't. I mean, when we went to go see Mr. Rickles, RIP, we were in the very last row on the upper balcony, and this lady came up to us and said, would you like to sit in the front row? Mr. Rickles likes a full front row. And we went from the back of the theater to the front of the row, and my friend was right next to the last person who got made fun of. And we were like, no! So I just want there to be something. I mean, when comedy would happen there, like it was funny because it is home of the quote unquote bonkers comedy club. It still is, but they moved it from the Northern Lights Theater to like a room next to a sports bar. So like, it's not really competition for us as a comedy club. It happens all the time there, but you know, I'm not hearing people like, well, we were a bonkers family. When we go see comedy, we go to bonkers. I'm not denigrating bonkers. I'm not making fun of bonkers. It's just, I don't like, it's not competition to us.
Yeah.
But, oh, I'm bummed.
All right. Well, that rounds out the first hour of today's Wednesday show. We're going to do the top of the hour news. And when we come back, a conversation around not only the driving epidemic in Milwaukee, but around the country. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.